Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday night service, Calvary Baptist Church, right here in Powder Springs. And I want to say that we are so thankful for the good weather today, and we're thankful for the great service we had this morning, and had great singing this morning, and we thoroughly enjoyed preaching out of Job this morning, Job chapter number one. When Job got the news, what did he do? And just some things this morning that Job did that we preached about that hopefully was a blessing and a help to everyone that was here this morning. And it's a brand new service tonight, and we are fully aware of our need of God's help to deliver one more sermon to you, a message we feel the Lord is laying on our heart for this evening. And we hope that it'll be a blessing and a help to you. But before we pray, just want to remind those that are watching, next Sunday morning at 10:30 will be our homecoming service. And again, we're honoring the day, it being homecoming, and we will celebrate later on when things calm down a bit, but with food and all of those things we normally have at homecoming. But this evening, let's remember all those on our prayer list. You can get you a full list and view everyone on our prayer list on our webpage, calvaryministries.org. But let's do remember those who are having difficulty, those who are in the hospital, those who are home from the hospital, those who have buried loved ones recently. And let's just remember our world tonight. As we said this morning, we're all going through the storm of the pandemic, and so we all have a common denominator here, and that is that we're all in this together, and we're all in need of the Lord's help this evening, and so we are praying to that end. And let's remember Brother Bobby McClendon, and as he's home from the hospital, praise the Lord for that. And again, Brother Allen Clayton, strength for days ahead. Alan and Miss Terry, and of course Brother Allen's boss, Captain Ross, and his wife, Miss Barbara Anderson, and Brother Harold. Again, he was not here this morning, not feeling well, and so Brother Harold, we're praying for you, and many, many others. Brother Jim Daly had a good result on his procedure he had last Thursday, and so we praise the Lord for that. And again, let's just remember not only our people here at Calvary, but let's remember all of God's churches, all of God's people this evening, and first responders. Again, let's remember the election coming up in November. A lot to pray for tonight, but we serve a Lord who is fully aware of everything that's going on, and he hears the prayers and the cries of his children. And so to that end, we're going to go to him in a word of prayer. And we got a special for you tonight. Brother Randy is on the keyboard, as he's been faithfully doing on Sunday nights. But then we have Spencer with us. And so they got something coming in just a moment, and we're excited about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight. Lord, we understand and recognize that this is a brand new hour of worship. This morning has come and gone. And Lord, we are needy creatures. Father, I stand in need of you, a touch tonight, so that I can communicate what you put in my heart for this hour. Pray, Lord, for our world tonight, that you would heal our world. Father, we know that ultimate healing starts from within, so I pray that souls would be saved and lives would be changed, and ultimate healing would take place in our land. But this evening, Lord, we do pray for the upcoming election that's coming quicker than we think. Lord, we also pray for all of our doctors and first responders. Thank you for them. Be with them, Lord. Where would we be without them? And we pray for our church, Calvary Baptist Church, that you would bless, be with, uphold, and strengthen every person, every life, is our prayer, Lord. And then your church worldwide, Lord, that you would strengthen and bless and energize, help us to continue to carry your word to the ends of the world. And Lord, we're thankful once again for what you've done this morning. Do it again tonight, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Yes. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Well, praise the Lord this evening. We sang them year-round around here, not just at Christmas time. And what a tremendous, tremendous truth that is. Jesus came into the world to save sinners through a virgin womb, Mary. And that's a whole message within itself. And what a blessing. Appreciate that, Brother Spencer and Brother Randy on the keyboard this evening. Appreciate Brother LC in the sound room working hard in there. And what a blessing it is to have great, great, great help. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes, the Old Testament book, the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're going to be in chapter number 10, Ecclesiastes chapter number 10 this evening. And I want to mention something here. Again, it's about 13 after the hour, and I doubt very seriously I'll preach about 47 minutes, but who knows? And we went kind of at length this morning, but we will preach till we're preached out tonight. And we just pray that the Lord will be honored and glorified, and we may be encouraged as well just a little bit. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. And tonight we're going to look at another poetical book, and that is, as we mentioned this morning, the book of Ecclesiastes. It falls in line with the poetical books of the Bible. Again, the book of Job is a poetical book. The book of Proverbs, poetical book. That of Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and Psalms. And we could probably even throw in the book of Lamentations as being a poetical book out of the Old Testament. And they're poetical books because of their theme and the language and the expression of the heart of the writer. And David, of course, the poetical book, the book of Psalms, is known as a sweet psalmist, and how he expresses from his heart the things that he goes through in life and went through. But tonight, Ecclesiastes chapter number 10, and I want to say that Solomon is continuing his words of wisdom. He is continuing, as in Proverbs, he is continuing his wisdom speech, mentioning many, many things about wisdom. The very title, Ecclesiastes, means words of the preacher. And so we know that Solomon is communicating to us things that he's found to be true, that, of course, that has made it into the canon of Scripture, God-inspired words, that is. Tonight, I want to talk to you for just a few moments on this subject, as we're talking about wisdom already and Solomon's approach here to these poetical books being that of wisdom. I'd like to talk to you for a few moments on this subject, wisdom in a nutshell. Wisdom in a nutshell. We could speak all day and all night, many, many different viewpoints and angles and info we could talk about when it comes to wisdom. But tonight I want to look in chapter number 10 and just give you a word about wisdom in a nutshell, a very condensed form when it comes to the topic of wisdom. And again, we may be short, we may be long, whatever the Lord wants. The first thing I want to mention about wisdom in a nutshell is the word wisdom. What does the word wisdom really mean tonight? Well, the word wisdom, it means, especially here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 10 and verse 1 and 10, which we'll read in just a moment. But the word wisdom here, it means skillful, it means wise, it means knowledge, it means understanding. But then I looked up today Webster's definition of the word wisdom. Webster's dictionary says that wisdom is the quality of having experience. It's knowledge. It's knowledge and good judgment. It's the quality of being wise. And so when we look at that word wisdom, how from verse 1 and 10, in the Hebrew, it has to do with being skillful or wise, has to do with knowledge. And of course, our secular info we looked at, Webster's dictionary, is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the quality of being wise. I believe tonight we can say that basically wisdom, at least from the Bible, wisdom is basically seeing things from God's perspective. Wisdom is acting how He acts. It's dealing with issues how He deals with issues, or how He tells us in His Word we should deal with issues. That's what Bible wisdom is. Bible wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. But also it's having a knowledge where we're skillful in our daily life. We're able to discern and make wise decisions. So tonight, the word wisdom has to do with those meanings. Being skillful. The quality of being wise. Wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. Hold your place here in Ecclesiastes 10 and turn to the New Testament book of James for a moment. In the Bible, in the book of James, the Bible tells us in chapter number 3, in verse number 17, it tells us about heavenly wisdom. And the verse says in verse number 17 of James 3, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." And so James here is telling us about heavenly wisdom. That heavenly wisdom, when it's received, is not carnal, but it's pure. It's peaceable. It produces peace in one's life. It goes after peace. Someone that is giving instruction or trying to make a decision and is instructing others, or at least is making a decision that will influence others, how to know if it's from God or not, is peaceable. It's pure. It's not carnal. It has no carnal ending to it. It has no carnal introduction to it. Wisdom that's from above is pure and peaceable. Wisdom that is from above is gentle. And it's also, the Bible says, and easy to be entreated. Notice that phrase for a moment. Easy to be entreated. And that simply means those who have wisdom, those who are familiar with wisdom and familiar with understanding and what wisdom is, that's from God, how it's pure and peaceable, gentle. When they hear wisdom, heavenly wisdom, and they know it's from God, it's easy to gravitate to embrace that wisdom. It's easily entreated. Real wisdom is. A person can identify what real heavenly wisdom is because it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated. Meaning those who have it welcome it. He says that it's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. A person that is operating out of God's wisdom that came from above is a person that is a person who proceeds forward without partiality toward people. Meaning that person, they conduct themselves and they make decisions and they lead and they guide with the same love for everybody. It's without partiality. It's pure. It's peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Real wisdom, when it's operating in your life and how you know it's from God, that it's not two-faced. It is what it says it is. A person that is after God's own heart, and the person that is receiving heavenly wisdom and is trying to move forward in their life and make decisions, is a person that is making their decisions that's without hypocrisy. Not that they're perfect, but that they said they have understood what their path is, and they're moving in that direction without hypocrisy, without partiality, good fruits, mercy, full of mercy, easy to be entreated, gentle, peaceable, and pure. And so we see what heavenly wisdom is. And that's how we're to live our lives. We are to live our lives. We are to conduct our lives. We are to be wise. We are to ask for heavenly wisdom. Now, in chapter number 1, of the book of James. He tells us that, again, what I just said, we can ask for wisdom. James chapter number 1 and verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom or lack these things, lacks understanding, lacks the foresight and the knowledge of what to do in a situation, if any of you lack understanding, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And so the Bible tells us here that if we lack wisdom, if we lack understanding, if we're not sure about what to do in a situation in life, we're not clear about what direction to go in, the Bible tells us that we can ask of God. And he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. The word upbraideth here, it means to taunt. It means to basically make fun of. But the Bible says that we serve a God tonight that if you are lacking wisdom, you can go to him and he won't taunt you. Have you ever been unsure about something in your life and you went to somebody about that situation and they said, you don't know that? Are you crazy? I can't believe you don't know what to do in that situation. Boy, I've raised you. Girl, I've raised you better than that. I can't believe you don't know what to do. Well, James says, and he's speaking, the Bible says in verse 1, to the 12 tribes of Israel that were scattered abroad and because of persecution. And he tells them to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And he talks about in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom or understanding about your trial, about your situation, come to God. He won't taunt you. Come to God. He won't scorn you. He upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Tonight, the word wisdom carries a lot of weight and insight. It's the quality of being wise. It's seeing things from God's perspective. It's acting how he would act. It's dealing with issues how he says to deal with issues. And we know that we are in the realm of God's wisdom and we're receiving it if there's peace coming from us. If there's no partiality coming from us. And we love and we're there and we help everybody. We know that we have and we're working, operating out of heavenly wisdom. It's full of mercy. It's having compassion on others. That's how a person with wisdom operates. They ask for it, and God lives their life, lives his life through them. It's what wisdom is. There's the word wisdom. But then, number two tonight, back in Ecclesiastes, there's the warning of having wisdom. The warning. Notice, if you would, in verse number 1. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. In this verse tonight, we see a warning of having wisdom. Notice he says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So Solomon here is giving us a metaphor when it comes to wisdom. And he says that a person that is known for having wisdom, a person who has a reputation for understanding, a person who has honor in their life, and a person who has wisdom, who asks for heavenly wisdom, and it's being portrayed through their life and in their actions, this heavenly wisdom, is the same person that has a sweet savor. Wisdom in a person's life is a sweet savor. It's a nice smell. It's a perfume, if you will. He says that ointment of the apothecary, the ointment of the apothecary, the metaphor he uses here, is indeed a rich perfume. And he's likening that to a person who is operating out of heavenly wisdom. And over time, they gain reputation. And over time, they gain honor. But he gives a warning in this verse. And he uses a fly or a dead fly in this warning. He says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. Now, the ointment of the apothecary, it's the richness of perfume. And he says a dead fly can cause corruption in this perfume. I think it's something that he uses this metaphor because he then starts to make this connection. He says, so doest, notice this, a little folly, him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. You know, it takes a whole lifetime to gain a reputation. It takes a whole lifetime to gain a reputation of wisdom and honor, making good decisions and operating out of heavenly wisdom. It may take a lifetime to gain all of that, but it only take a little folly to ruin all of that. He says it's like a dead fly in the ointment. It's like a dead fly in the perfume, something that's so rich and so valuable that gives off such a wonderful smell. If there's a fly, this dead fly in the ointment, he says it will corrupt the whole perfume. It will cause corruption. So a little folly in a person's life will cause a beautiful smell to turn bad. Let us remember this warning tonight that we still have a race to run. We still have decisions that need to be made. We still have to do a lot of praying and Bible reading and not take any day for granted, because yesterday's successes, yesterday's answers are past, and now we're in the present, and we still need heavenly wisdom to know how to operate and handle life situations. We can't allow carnality to take over and be our wisdom, earthly wisdom, sensual wisdom, a wisdom after man, but we need God's wisdom. And he says that a little folly can mess up a reputation for someone who has been living their life for Jesus and doing what's right. So he gives this metaphor of a dead fly, and it will corrupt the perfume bottle. Let me say this. Have you ever been to a restaurant? Have you ever, or even maybe at your house and you were eating, or maybe at a picnic, and all of a sudden a fly lands on your food? There may be some who shoo the fly off and keep eating, but if a fly lands on your food, much of the time you won't eat that food because it has contaminated that food. So is the person who is walking in wisdom and who's made good choices in their life and made good decisions out of those choices, yet a little folly has caused a stench in their perfume of life. So many people in this world have spent their entire life, not from birth, of course, but from the moment they've accepted Jesus as their Savior, and have been going to church and living for the Lord and serving Him, but have slacked off a little. And because of that, have backslid. And because of that, there's been some flies in their life that have rob them of the good name that they've had. It takes a lifetime to be in reputation and honor, but only a moment, a little folly, to corrupt what's been done. In fact, in the book of Song of Solomon, chapter number 2 and verse 15, Solomon says, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes." I want to say tonight that the foxes are after your fruit. The foxes of this life are after my fruit, the fruit that we bear for the Lord and the things that we've wrought in for Him. And all of those good things the devil wants to destroy, our flesh does as well. So he tells us to take us, the little foxes. Be careful of the little foxes. He tells us in these verses, verse number 1, to be careful to guard your testimony. And so we have a warning here. But then I want you to notice in verse number 10, we have not only the warning of having wisdom, the word wisdom, but in verse number 10, the working of wisdom. Notice what he says, verse 10. He says, "If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct." Another metaphor here. He's talking about wisdom and how that wisdom will get the job done. Asking God for wisdom and direction and how to operate in your life and my life. He says wisdom will direct your life. Wisdom will get the job done. But he has a parallel to a person that's chopping wood with a dull axe. He says, if the iron or the axe be blunt or dull, and he do not whet the edge. That word "whet" means to sharpen. He do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. The person that's not operating out of wisdom and asking God for insight, what to do, and he's taking on his jobs within his own reasoning and his own self-strength, trying to draw his own conclusions, is like a person chopping wood with a dull axe. I mean, he just keeps going at it and going at it, taking forever to get the tree down. He says, but wisdom is profitable to direct. And so in essence, he's saying that wisdom is a sharp axe head. Wisdom is the way to go. Wisdom is a winner. Wisdom is profitable. Wisdom will get the job done tonight. He says, if the iron be blunt, he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. Think about in life, going through life and neglecting God's word and neglecting prayer and neglecting a church and the things of God. And then we're faced with choices we have to make. And we're doing our best to make those choices, but we're doing it outside the bounds of God's supervision, of God being at the helm of that. We're not seeking Him for that. All the strength, all the long nights, all the tears, trying to make a decision and trying to do what's right and lead and guide our families outside the bonds of the Word of God and prayer and seeking heavenly wisdom is a person who is chopping wood with a dull axe. They just trying and trying and trying, but still no avail. There may be someone listening tonight, watching, that you're trying to get the job done in your life. You're trying to make the right decisions. You're trying to do what's right, but yet you're doing it in a singular fashion outside of the Lord's help. Maybe tonight you need to ask the Lord for wisdom. Say, Lord, I don't understand. Like James chapter 1 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give it to all men liberally and abradeth not. You may not understand tonight what to do. You may not understand which direction to go, but ask of God, and He'll give it to you. Heavenly wisdom. And so there's the working of wisdom. There's the warning of wisdom. And then there's the word wisdom. Tonight, that's wisdom in a nutshell. Again, we could go on about wisdom and talk about all the ins, the outs, the ups, the downs. Those were just three things tonight I wanted to mention. What is wisdom? Wisdom is just seeing things through God's eyes, acting and making decisions how God would want us to. Wisdom is the quality of having experience and knowledge, good judgment. And there's heavenly wisdom that's to be gained. We're to ask for wisdom. Then there's the warning. We can live a life of great honor and reputation, but we have to continue down that path because there's little follies that can destroy the reputation we've created. Then the work. Let us make sure tonight that we are chopping wood with a sharp axe and not a dull axe. Father, tonight, that's all I've got. I pray that it was a help. Something was said. It may have been a help tonight. I pray, Lord, that we would daily sharpen our axe heads. How many times have I, as a person, worried and fretted, running my head against the wall, so to speak, on decisions and problems, when all along I could see what you wanted me to do about it, give the problem to you. Father, tonight I pray that you'd help us guard our lives and our testimonies. Wisdom of yesterday is gone. There's needed wisdom for today. Thank you, Lord, for wisdom in general, the heavenly insight. We pray if there's someone here tonight, someone watching, may need some help. I pray that, Lord, you would touch them and speak to them in Jesus' name. Amen. We always give a virtual invitation on Sunday nights, and so if you need to pray, you pray as we play. That'll be enough singing tonight. We appreciate you joining us, and I hope everybody has a safe and happy Labor Day if you get to get the day off from your labor. A lot of people have to work. We appreciate you watching tonight, and again, we'll be live on Wednesday night from our home, 7 o'clock, and remember, homecoming 10:30 this coming up Sunday morning. Everybody take care and have a great week.